All right, playoff time. The NHL's here. Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm outside PNC Arena. Michael Leboff, my friend, the Action Network, at the Big Lebowski on Twitter, Islanders Anxiety Podcast. All right, let's start with your guys who get Matthew Barzal back. All right, the level of excitement now that number 13 is fully operational.
Yeah, it's a big deal, obviously, and thanks for having me, Adam. It's nice to do one of these where I'm not fretting about the Rangers and get to talk about my Islanders a little bit instead. And I'll say this about Barzal. One thing I think that people aren't really delving into, most of the pre-series content has been about, you know, will he be healthy enough? What does this mean for him and Bo Horvat? What does it mean for this terrible power play? But I actually think that the sneaky part of getting Barzal back is, what does this mean for the Brock Nelson line, which was going really well since Pierre Engvall joined, him and Kyle Palmieri, because now it gives Rod Brendamore a decision. Jordan Staal has dominated Matt Barzal in matchups for as long as I can remember now, between when these two teams have played. And now with Barzal moving to the wing, does he think, okay, do we got to put the Staal line on Nelson, Palmieri, and Engvall, which would hopefully open up the ice a little bit for Barzal and Horvat. And I think that is one of the kind of ripple effects that people aren't realizing here, is that the Islanders were a team with a decent first line and then middle six lines that would grade out as normally as like third line. But now they have a legitimate top six, and that gives Brendamore a pretty tough decision here on which line to match up against Jordan Staal.
Michael Leboff, Action Network, at the Big Lebowski on Twitter. You know, Rod has typically, you know, basically taken who he believes is the most dangerous line, unless there is a speed issue for the Staal line. He's basically taken Staal and put that line on the other team's most dangerous trio. Last year in the playoffs against Boston, it was the Bergeron line that Staal line matched up with. Then in the second round, it was Zibanejad and Kreider. Here, he doesn't have that matchup on the road. Let me flip it though and ask, what scares you about the Hurricanes lineup? My guess is, judging from the last 2 months, not much.
You know what? It's let's say there's like a particular facet of like the on paper lineup, but it's just that the Hurricanes have shown, and they do it against the Islanders. Heck, we saw it, what was that, two weeks ago in a must-win game for the Islanders, where the Hurricanes just smothered them. And from the second the puck dropped, the Islanders barely had a chance to get anything going. And Carolina is a team that, no matter who you are and how many star players you have, and if no matter what your goalie's like, they could just have a game or two in a seven-game series where you just feel like you don't touch the puck. So that forecheck and their ability to just own the puck, move it quickly from their D zone to your D zone is really scary. And but if I had to pick out like an actual player, I think Brent Burns is a little scary, because the Islanders, I don't think, you know, when you look at these two teams, the forward lines, you can really make an argument maybe the Islanders have the better forward lines. If you want, I think it's pretty much a wash, depending on what version of Matt Barzal we get. But the blue line, the edge is clearly with Carolina. And Brent Burns, I think, is a little bit of an X factor here, because with Noah Dobson not having the best season for the Islanders, there's one defenseman here who can win a series with a big goal, and that's Burns. So he's a little scary. I'm a little worried about that. He's so good at getting the pucks through into good areas for tips and chaos to off of rebounds, and you know, that's what the Canes are going to have to rely on to beat Sorokin if he's up to song. So
ask you real quick about Ilya Sorokin, who I think is one of the best two or three goaltenders in the entire sport. But this is the first time he goes into a playoff series as the number one netminder, back 5 years ago, right? That it was more Varlamov. It was Leonard then, but even the last time the Islanders made the playoffs, it was more Varlamov, although they both played. So what are your thoughts about Sorokin as the guy going in?
I mean, it's really hard to say you're not confident in him that he'll be the goods. He, like you said, it was Varlamov who played the lion's share of games in that playoff run. But Varley was like a surprise scratch in game one against Pittsburgh that year. And everyone got a little nervous, Sorokin making his first NHL playoff start. And he stole that series from the Penguins flat out. 944 save percentage, 4-0, because Varlamov played the two games that they lost, including a game five performance that in my lifetime probably was the best Islander playoff goaltending performance I've ever seen, where they got a shelled by the Penguins from the second the puck dropped in double overtime, and they still ended up winning. So I have all the confidence in the world in this guy. He's won, playoff series in the KHL on his own. He's clearly a money goalie, but it just depends on how much, just how much rubber is he going to see compared to the other way, with Ronta tonight and Anderson Kochetkov going forward, whatever combination. Because as long as the Islanders can kind of keep it close enough, I think they have a chance. But asking him to save two for every one is pretty tough.
First to three, you think wins any game?
It does feel like that, for sure. I think this is the type of series where the narrative is 3-2 every game, couple overtime games. So maybe there's going to be one crazy game where it ends up being 6-4 because neither goalie has it, or there's chaos or something. But it does feel like a first to three kind of series, which is, the Islanders are lucky to get this kind of draw rather than another team that could score the lights out.
I actually feel the same way, not just because of the style that this I think this series will be played out. But if there's going to be a game where it goes bananas, I'll bet it's tonight. I'll bet it's tonight, and then it kind of settles into a normal series. Michael Leboff, the Action Network and the Islanders Anxiety Podcast, is here with me. A couple of quick things about the rest of the landscape. I'm a little surprised the Hurricanes I saw were tied fifth choice to win the Stanley Cup with all of their, goaltending being just okay, power play being no good, goal scoring being kind of mid over the course of the last 2 months. Are you surprised that there's like there should be more value there?
There should be. Yeah, I would agree with you. I was kind of hoping like 2 weeks ago that we'd see this number really drift, but we never did, because then I would say, hey, they're a buy low opportunity. They can turn any game into a coin flip, and in a 7-game series that matters. So it is a little surprising. I still think that a lot of bet and model sports really look at 5-on-5 numbers pretty heavily, and Carolina grades out so well there. But you have to look at what they've been doing over the last 22 games or so since the Svechnikov injury, and it's just not been all that great. So I do think it's a little short, and they should probably be further down in the mid pack rather than one of the top five favorites. But this stuff is a lot of times determined by how much money the books have taken on teams all season, and
Right.
Carolina was certainly popular early on.
All right, let me ask you about, I mean, Boston is such an overwhelming favorite. There's no value there. It's like, two, I think I saw two six plus 265. Where is the value other than I'm shocked that Tampa is 20-1.
Yeah, I think Tampa's an interesting shout for sure. You're going to be kicking yourself in a couple of weeks if they get through the first two rounds and you're like, I saw them at 20-1. I wanted to do it and I didn't. The way I would bet Boston is betting Patrice Bergeron. You can get him 30 or 40-1 to win the Conn Smythe, and I know he's battling an injury right now, but this is an award that's voted by human beings and sports writers, and if
Right.
Bergeron wins a Stanley Cup in what is probably his swan song, it's going to be really hard for those writers not to vote for him. So that's how I do it. And I like, in the same way, I like the Winnipeg Jets just generally as a value play. If chaos ensues out west, fine, just betting the best goalie to be the last one standing. And you can either bet the Jets at a big number to win the Stanley Cup, or you can bet Connor Hellebuyck to win the Conn Smythe, because it's pretty hard to imagine the Jets making a run without Hellebuyck being the most valuable player on that team by a long shot.
Michael Leboff of the Action Network at The Big Lebowski on Twitter, Islanders Anxiety Podcast. I'm gonna be bothering you for the next 2 weeks, my friend. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. This should be fun.